Let's go now to Sif Aleph. Okay, back to Sif Aleph. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, HaKoneh Me'obed Kachavim Klei Seuda Shel Matechet O Shel Zchuchit. Now, at this point, you should realize how much went into that sentence, right? One who buys from a non-Jew. Now, if you remember, just a chazer, we've discussed whether the issue here is literally acquisition from a non-Jew or the transfership from ownership of a non-Jew to a Jew. L'may Nafkamina.
Whether you use it or...
The ger. Remember the ger? Right? Nachum is right. This is what we'll get to later, is that it's only the transition. Right? That's not debatable. Right? If it's only borrowed from a non-Jew, then that's fine. Right? Klei Seuda. Right? If you remember, we spent like an hour just on the psukim, understanding where did we get to this notion that tefillah is only on Klei Seuda.
You have to say this connected to that.
Right. Shel Matechet, which is what's listed in the Torah. Now, I will note, as I mentioned at the beginning, that this is not something I want to get bogged down in. That this word Matechet is very complicated because. Does the Torah say Klei Matechet? What does it say? Correct. It lists six specific substances, of which five which we consider metals nowadays and one which we don't. Lead.
Lead is not considered.
In modern science, no. That's not the important, right? Meaning, that doesn't matter, right?
I know, I just never knew that.
I don't believe lead is considered a metal in modern science.
Not like lettuce.
Lead.
Lead. Okay.
Lead.
Lead.
I don't know.
Lined with lead.
Oh, I take it back. No, that's not true. Even in modern science, it's considered a heavy metal. It's a heavy metal. Okay, it's a heavy metal. I take it back. Fine, it's a heavy metal. So I take that back. So six metals, right? It just doesn't have a lot of the classic magnetic, like, you know, certain metallic things. Anyways, not important. Six metals. There's a machlokas. Haposkim, whether this means, right, specifically, already in the Rishonim and then in the Achronim, based on many different things, and right, whether this means specifically the six metals in the Torah, those are the only ones that are Daraisa, or everything else, Lamaisa is not a big difference, because at worst it's going to be Darabanan, right? I mean, it's clearly going to be Chayev, right? But this comes up, but sometimes this will be a Snif Lahakel in something like aluminum. Because right, aluminum is not one of them, or is not one of the six, so it might be Dirabanan. Now, it has other implications in other places in Chas, like in Tumas Mace, and things like that, but I don't want to get into that. But just know that that exists, okay? Unless you want to go down this rabbit hole, but it's,
but
it's quite...
But in case, is that it's really a problem that you figure...
But Lamaisa for Tvila Kalim, right? We already discussed Daraisa Dirabanan on glass, right? There's a... Just know that even within metal, there is a Machlokas, right? We've shown him already, right, whether... When we say metal, we mean the six metals mentioned in the Torah, or we mean all metals, fine. Oshel Zchuchit. Now note, does Shulchan Aruch distinguish between glass and metal? No. Which is a good raya to those Achronim who say that they're both biblical, right? Now obviously you could say, no, he's just not distinguishing. Or both Darabanan, right? Though he holds Daraisa, remember the end? Right, seems to be holds Daraisa because of the Nemanos issues. Right, remember the Nemanos issues? We got that? But again, Shulchan Aruch nor Beis Yosef does he actually distinguish between gold and between metal and glass, Daraisa versus Darabanan, right? Which is part of the raya that maybe we don't really paskin that way, my Mordechai and the like, right? Again, many Achronim, the majority of Achronim, I think that we do distinguish, right? But as I said, it's not obvious, just know that, okay? Now, Klei Seuda will come to the complexity in a minute. Okay, just hold that thought. Now, if things are covered on the inside in lead, even if they're new,
why does it make a difference if it's new?
Good, so that was something to remember. Remember that the Beis Yosef has this Afilu Chadashim, and the Bach says, Maza Afilu Chadashim, of course new ones. Right? Meaning, of course, new or old, who cares?
Right,
and I said, so that could be the Machlokes, the Beis Yosef, at least conceptually, views Hechsher Kalim and Kashering and Tvilat Kalim on the same Retzef, and therefore, it makes sense to say Afilu.
How does that apply to you?
Meaning it doesn't make a difference, right? But that's in the Beis Yosef when he says Afilu, right? I suggested this before.
Wait, is it Afal Pi Shehem? Sorry.
Even though the Kalim are new,
Oh, it's not the coated kale.
No. It's on all of it. It's going in everything. No.
Oh, okay.
But I think you're right that connecting it to, right, that afil chadashim sort of, right, indicates that he sort of views them as similar to hechsher kelim, right? Okay. So you have tzarach ladvilim b'mikva b'mayan shal arba'im sa'a. The Ramah says v'yesh omrim dekelim hametzupim be'iver afmiel mivnim yidbo below bracha v'chein no'agin. And some people say that things that are covered are only or without a bracha. Good. So now, this was something that we saw in the sugya, but we really didn't spend a lot of time on. I left it to do it now because I didn't want to, again, one of those things I don't want to spend too much time on. Okay.
Why can you not do that?
Oh, because I can start arguing with the thing back.
Okay. So, let's talk for a moment about the covered things. The Gemara says that if something is covered, right, remember the Gemara? The Gemara says something is covered. Do you have to tovel it or not? Yes. Good. Now.
But that was not. That was
pretty good,
right?
Yeah. That's where this comes from.
Right.
Meaning, a kli that on the inside, like the main kli is made of something which is putter from tefillah, let's say wood, fine. And then is coated with.
Oh, like lead. My mug coated in lead, basically. A glass.
Don't drink from something that's coated in lead. Ever heard of lead poisoning?
You give that example.
I know, but I'm telling you, a Lamaisa thing. Don't do this. It's coated in grass. Coated in metal. Right? Why lead? Why lead?
When you told me that when you wanted to make an example of glass, you used lead.
Don't use lead. Come on, lead poisoning. You've heard of this.
I have. That makes me wonder why you gave that example in the beginning.
Because it's the Gemara's example. But now I want to say...
Gemara was lead poisoning.
Did they Gemara know about lead poisoning?
Probably not.
No offense. Someone's going to be listening to this. What? Chazal didn't know something? Apparently, they were coating things in lead. What do you want from my life? Right? Okay? Don't do it. Like, someone's going to be like, oh, there's no such thing as lead poisoning. The Gemara thought that you could coat the inside of your things with lead. No, don't do it, right? I don't know. Maybe the kli was made of kryptonite, and therefore they coat it with lead. Oh!
The finish.
Good. That's for you, AB. That was for you, AB, okay?
We are a bunch of Ubermen.
Exactly. Right? AB is happy now. It's like, good. Okay. I feel like you would have liked the, did you see the graphic novel Haggadah? It was excellent. It was made by someone who worked on creating Batman. Like, creating Batman, and he wrote a Haggadah in the style of a comic book, and it is excellently done. It is brilliant. It is so good. It was published by Karin. It was the number one selling Haggadah this year. So, so good. Brilliantly done. Brilliant. So brilliant. Like, Mamesh. Free endorsement for it. It was so brilliant. The number one best scene in the entire thing. I'm telling you, the number one best strip was the like everyone was posting this, and apparently the graphic designer, like the person who actually, not the designer, the illustrator, like his favorite image in the whole thing was the right. And if God had not taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be slaves. And it's this beautiful picture of cubicles. Like hundreds of people just, you know, computer programming, and then taskmasters just walking through. Which I thought was a brilliant, just brilliant move of visual production. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Wow.
Anyways, excellent. Okay.
Who made the
Koran? Yeah. Yeah, I have one at home. It was excellent. Okay, anyway.
Let's go.
Good. So, covered in whatever, right? So the Gemara said you have to tovel or not, right? And the Gemara's answer was
yes.
Gemara's was yes. Now, there are three main ways in which one could cover a kli. What are they?
A cover, like a pot cover.
The coat. What? Not cover. Coat. The coating. For thick, thin. Before we get into that, there's a simple, very simple here.
A coating for
that. On the inside, on the outside, or both?
Inside.
Okay.
Right? Very simple, basic here. Inside, outside, both.
Pretty simple.
Yes? The Gemara, which says, right, so now, which of those three do you know for sure needs tefillah?
Inside. No, outside coating.
Both. If it's totally covered, you've covered all your bases.
Right.
And therefore you know that you need tefillah.
Why would you
not say... I mean, once the Gemara says that something that's coated, right, needs tefillah,
right.
So you know that if it's fully coated inside and out, right?
You need tefillah. Right, but why do you not know that if it's coated on the inside?
So now let's ask, right, the questions. Why does something with a coating need tefillah? Or what was the Gemara's question? Right? What was the Gemara's question? Why did the Gemara have a suffix about whether you need tefillah on something which is putter? The main part of the kli is right made of let's say whatever, right, of wood, right? What's the Gemara suffix? Why does the Gemara ask about coating?
It's not the ikar of the pot, but it's still touching.
Right. So the Gemara. So let me just redo the Gemara again, okay? So the Gemara says.
That's what he's saying.
Kunya.
You have to say that.
Okay. Pligi ba Rebbe. Rav Acha viravina, chad amar kitchilato, chad amar kisofo, v'ilchadak kisofo. Okay, so Rashi says something in French. Flomiri, I don't know what that is. Flomiri. That just that word.
Okay.
Flomiri. Yeah, whatever. Something. A thing.
It's
which was made of cheres, was made of clay. Okay? It could have been wood. The choven is of a chuv yeshalev, and then you cover it with lead. Again, don't take this as modern medical advice. Bad idea. You cover it with metal. You cover it with aluminum. Okay? You cover it with stainless steel. Okay? Whatever you want. I don't care, just not lead.
Mercury.
Right? So, he says, is the halacha kitchilato? Rashi says, why? Who is it like tchilato, meaning that which the kli started with, which was?
Wood,
cheres, whatever.
Yeah.
Or kisofo. But there's sofos in shchibo matchot, uklei matchot, who by tvila. So what is the question? There are two ways I think you could, right? There are several ways you could read this Gemara, and this will be what depends on, okay? One way to read it is the way that Nahum's reading it, which is, what is the reason you would think it's patur?
Why is it patur?
Why would it be patur?
Oh, I would think it's more.
Why? The Gemara had a question, so now explain both sides. Don't tell me what you think.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me why you both sides.
Because the ikar of the item is wood. Clay.
Perfect.
Like, it's not,
right? So you might have thought.
You're not going to call this a metal pot, you're calling it a.
Good. Now, perfect. Right? Why would you think it's patur? Because it is defined as a.
Clay pot.
How do I know? Kitchilato. When it was first created, it existed without the coating. Right? Right? Undeniably, this was at some point a wooden cup. Or a clay cup. How do I know? Because it existed without a coating. No. Away. So now, but now let's, the Maskana is its kisofo, that a coated wooden cup is indeed obligated, right?
Right.
Good. So, what? Why?
Because now it's no longer a wood cup.
Okay, so one possibility is that the Hava Amina was that it was defined as a wooden cleat because that's how it first started. The Maskana is no. Once you coated it, now it takes on the status of
metal or whatever you coat.
Good. What's another possibility?
The part that's touching the food requires tefillah.
Perfect. Nachum, I am so proud. That was beautiful. Right? The other possibility is what? Is that no, it's still defined as a wooden cup, right? But it's chayiv anyways if that which touches the food is a substance which would be chayiv in tefillah were it
by itself.
Good. Lemay nafka mina. So now, what is the nafkamina between those two formulations? Come on.
Whether you have to tell me or not.
You have to tovel what?
The
maskana is you have to tovel it.
Right.
But remember, what is the Gemara ambiguous about? And this is where we'll understand Shulchan Aruch now. Right? The Gemara is ambiguous. The Gemara clearly holds that something that's covered on the inside and the outside is chayav. But the Gemara doesn't tell you what happened if it's only covered on the inside or only covered on the outside. Right? If it's covered totally, there's no shiloh. We know the answer of the Gemara.
Well, it kind of sounds like it's chayav.
Well, we don't know. Because, we don't know. Perfect.
If you go like the beginning, then even the inside would not be chayav.
Oh, good. So now you understand what is this machlokas that Shulchan Aruch brings. Oh, so now let's go through the possibilities, right? If you think that what, right? So the smock and the ron. Okay, again, I'm just going to do this in the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Because it's just going to be faster, okay? Look for a moment at the gra. Look at the gra, okay? Okay, look at the gra. Because it's short, and it'll get it quickly, right? Short. Hey, the gra, you see the gra? See the gra? Beir ha-gra, one-liner?
Yeah.
He says, V'yesh omrim, smak, ukeperish haran. The davka shen mitzumim bayis umichutz, avolav achi yitbo b'lo bracha. He says, only something which is covered on the inside and the outside is chayav with a bracha. But if it's not covered on the inside and the outside, then it doesn't need a bracha. Why? Why? Give me a svara. Give me a svara.
If it's only coated on one side,
you're not coating, you're not toveling the whole thing, then you're toveling the whole thing coating.
Because he's saying it doesn't take
on a part of it.
He's saying it doesn't take on the form of this new kli.
Good, I think, right? The Ron doesn't explain why, right? But I think that's the obvious lumdus, is that if you think what the Gemara is saying, look, if it was once a wooden kli, and then you cover it totally, so now it's called metal,
but if you
right?
coat it one
so
side,
then it would only be chayav is covered on the inside and the outside. Because if the svara of the Gemara is that coating redefines the object,
then it has to be complete.
Then it might have to be complete. Right. And therefore, if it's only covered on one side, so then it's still a wood clay with a coating. Correct. Then it's just a wood clay with a coating. Right? So I think that's his lumdus. I think that's the Ron's lumdus. He's saying that's why maybe, even if it's on the inside, right? Now, why would you say on the inside it needs?
Because it's still touching the food.
Good. Right? If you want to say, no, it needs a bracha, you'll say, no, the issue at hand wasn't have you redefined the kli as a wooden kli, now it's a metal kli. The svara was that once the portion of the kli that touches food is a substance which would be chayv were it its entire kli, then it is, I don't know, it can become tamei akum or whatever, right? Whatever, again, we've talked about this at length, so I don't want to get back into it.
So let's say you buy a...
Right, now, wait 1 second. So according to that logic, then what? According to that logic, would you be chayav to tovel something that's only covered in the inside?
According
to...
Yeah.
Yes, right? And that is, I think, the machlokas in the... Right? That, I think, is the simplest lumdus. Now, there are other ways of doing this, right? So, for example, you look at the Taz. The Taz says, Yitbo b'lo bracha, why? How could you say that which is inside is not chayiv, if it's coated in the inside? He says that, Tzibu b'fnim, eino el elinoi. Because it's only covered in the inside, it's just to make it look nice. Right? Think about it. Right?
So what was he actually saying?
Right, think about it, right? What?
If it's worth
or whatever, right? Meaning, but fundamentally, but the Taz is saying, why? What? So what is he really getting at? Or what's the Taz really getting at? I think he's getting at this point. He's saying, look, it may look nicer now that you've coated it, but fundamentally, what is Mechayev something in Tefillah? It being defined as a metal kli, or glass kli, or whatever. But if it's just coated, right, it does its decorations, right? Meaning, who would have a Havamina? Right, let's say, right, I think what he's saying is, let's say you had a wooden kli, okay? But in the inside, you put a little... Not a metal cup inside, but you put a... Let's say you just wrote your name in like a...
Metallic.
Yeah, like a metallic pen, right? Would anyone have a Havamina?
It's a metallic pen.
right?
There's like metal inside the ink. Huh.
So it looks shiny, right? Would anyone have a habamino? Oh, you're chayev. No, they don't understand. It's still
touching
the food. Probably not, right? I mean, maybe.
What has is different than the...
It's not klibas. It's not a... It's not klisuda.
No, in your cup.
If you had metal in your... You said like the pen... I don't know what you're trying to go with, right?
Now, the Mordechai says, right, that if it's covered only on the, that it's only on the outside, you should still tovel it,
okay, so say,
right, but without a bracha. Without a bracha, why?
Because it's enough to take.
It's not for.
Ah, right, now here I think it's the opposite, right, the lum just goes in the opposite direction, which is, if you think it's about touching the food, then obviously a covering on the outside.
It's not. Oh, he's combining both.
But if you have a havamina that what? It's about defining the kli, you might think that the only thing which defines a kli is inside and the outside, or right? Or maybe just the outside, right? Because right, let's say you have right, you know how sometimes you have these beautiful metal bechers, but on the inside there's like a plastic insert that just keeps it clean? Right? Right? What touches the food?
The plastic.
What defines the kli? Right? Right, so you see.
So actually,
right? So the only one that we know is chayav with a bracha is covered on the inside and the outside.
No, but
right?
You put that...
But if you think it's about defining the kli, then what might be the most important? The outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The one that you look at and say,
defines really what it is.
Right. But if you think it's about touching the food because it has a certain, like, a tumah on it, right? Then which is going to be the most important?
The inside.
The inside. Mm-hmm. And that.
What do you mean? What?
The Ramah brings up something similar, the pill pulling case.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet. We're just in Sifalif. We're just in Sifalif.
No, so...
Yeah, guys, this is why I'm taking you Shulchan Aruch. That's why I want to take you Shulchan Aruch. Right? This is... Right, I could have given you all the Rishonim inside, but I want to take you...
So in other words, if you were defined by the inside of the thing, it does not really make a big difference, does it? If you define the Becher from the inside...
What?
That's
exactly the suffix. Right, that's exactly it. Right? Now, the Shach notes that in his time, the minhag was not to tovel it, and he doesn't know why. Okay?
He doesn't know why,
and then practically he says, if you have a thing like this, the best thing to do is...
personally tovel it, or like...
Well, he just didn't know why people didn't. But he says, if you have something which is, you're not sure whether you have to be tovel, because it's, you know, only covered on the inside or the outside, what do?
You tovel something that needs it. And
thank you.
Say,
good, right? Now, probably the biggest halach l'maisa issue with this, though, is the following, right? Is, if it's about defining the kli, right, then can you give me an example of something that might be coated 100% in still putter? A very thin layer.
Like a gloss.
Correct. A gloss. Right? A gloss. Right? Like a thin glaze.
Non-stick coating?
No. Let's say a thin glass glaze on china. China is clearly putter. Right? Meaning maker because it's porcelain, right? Or it's bone. Right? Right? Bone china or porcelain china or whatever china you're going to get. Right? I mean, the Spitz one is bone. Right?
From bones? Like from animal bones?
Yeah. They're like $100 a plate.
Yeah. I don't have this plate. It's okay.
Yeah, China is expensive. Trust me.
What, China right. plates?
Yes. It's like $100 a plate.
Seriously?
Yes. My set of China cost like $2,000. Like,
it's probably a wedding.
What?
Is it a wedding?
For what? Yeah, a wedding. Like,
it's awesome. Can't wait
till
my wedding.
Get
all these free gifts.
It's great.
You get the whole
shot. It's insane. Anyways.
That's amazing.
Okay. So, the Minaga Ola... You know, as I was listening to a shir by Ray Miller on this, right? And the way he put it like this, is he said, the minhag ha'olam is to tovel china. Okay? And many poskim say you have to tovel china. Why? Well, one second. It has glass on the inside and the outside, or it has glass at least on the inside, but you do it without a bracha.
If it's a plate, what's considered?
Then it says where the food touches it. Right? However, the... Poskim at YU, and the way I poskim, or if you're asking me personally, is we do not tovel china. Why? Because what's the... Right, if it's about defining the kli, then what the Gemara is talking about is a thick coating, not a... Right, not a glaze that makes it shiny, that makes it... that prevents it from beginning cracked, right? It means something, sheish bo mamashos, right? Plus, the way you talk to Rabbi Shechter or Willig about this, they'll say, look, What is China usually coated with, if it's even coated? Not all of it is coated. Some China's not coated. What is it? Glass. It's not coated with metal. It's glass. Right? Which means...
spray that...
What? No. It is not... Some of it is not glazed with anything. It's just heat. But even if it is actually glazed, what's it glazed with? Glass, which according to most Achronim is only Chayev. Midarabanan. Right, which means they have two svara, right? Which is
you're tovel without a bracha.
No, here's the thing. But this is basically their lamdos, is that it's a very thin coating. Which, if the reason you're chayav by coated things is because it redefines the kli, a very thin glaze doesn't, therefore it's patur, it's batel.
Right.
Plus the fact that in this case it's a savik derabanan. Plus the fact that Tovel in China is actually a potential hefsid, right? Because when are you most likely to break your $100 plate? When you drop it into the mikvah, right? And therefore the poskim around YU tend to be very, very makil, right?
If you say glass is
d'oraisa, right?
And the coating changes.
And you think it's really, really chashuv that this coating, right? You could come, like I said, you go around, a lot of people will tell you Tovel China, right? Like, you know, I can't prove this, right? Miller claimed that the Minhag Olam, again, there are poskim on both sides of this divide. He said that the Minhag Olam is to Tovel China, but the Minhag HaYeshiva, the Minhag of YU, is not to, because the poskim in YU all think you're not Chayev. Now, there are major poskim, right, not just in YU, right? Here, we can do a search here. Look, you can always do this, right? This is always fun. No, I mean, let's try this, right? OU, kosher, Tvila Kalim. Okay?
Do you really have a thing about that?
Yeah, look.
Thank God.
Summary of Hilchot Kalim. Here. Right? And then we'll do the star K. Right? One star. It's another. These just happen to be. Oh, look. Tvila Kalim. Right? These happen to be good summary. Like, you know, okay. Let's see. China. Okay. OU says, right? Is commonly glazed with glass. It should be tovled without a bracha. Okay? Karel is actually glass, that we know. Okay.
Karel.
Yeah. Karel is glass. Karel? You don't know Karel?
Okay. Whatever. I mean, I have no clue what that is.
It's a type of plate.
Oh.
Like a cheap plate. Which is shatter resistant.
Oh, yeah, I have those.
It doesn't not shatter, it's shatter resistant. Exactly. When it does shatter, it shatters into like 10 trillion pieces. Yeah. It's the worst.
I have balls like that at home.
Okay, so the OU says, tovel it with...
That's why I
out of, okay. The OU says, tovel without a bracha. The star case says, tovel without a bracha, but they have a footnote, which says, that Rav Heinemann says, that if the kli will definitely get broken, then you're honest, you don't have to do it.
Why? What does it make a difference? I mean, if it's broken, why? What should you do?
Yeah, if it would break.
But if it's a derisa,
based on what we already said, because of the onus and whatever, right? So Ray Miller's probably right that I just pulled up two right major kashrut organizations, and they both said tovel without a bracha.
But if it's a derisa, it's hesed meruba doesn't.
Well, remember, it could be that if you're an anus by tefillah kalim, if you think it's only a mitzvah, the fact you'd be patur from the mitzvah because of anus would make it mutter to use.
Spend one fifth of your money on this.
Here, Halachapedia. Let's see what Halachapedia has to say.
Seriously?
Yes. It was started by Ike Sultan. Rabbi Ike Sultan. Okay, let's see. Yakut Yosef Pasuk this way. Now which major Pasuk seems to think that it's not true, not from the YU world? Rav Moshe Feinstein says that a thin glazed glass is insignificant and doesn't make it defined as glass.
He says it,
no,
so at all.
So Moshe, in the context of kashering, says even a thin glaze, it's like, right, it's like China, and therefore can't be kosher, right? Meaning, what would be yotzei a chumra in tvila should come out as a kula in koshering,
right?
Because glass might be able to be koshered, right? Machlokes, but China can't be, right? Porcelain can't be, right? Bone. So, so Moshe seems to also go in that direction that you might actually be pater. But you know, looking at the first three things that came up, star K, okay, and the star K, OU, and Halachopedia, it's actually an excellent website. Not a joke. It's really a very good website. I'm a big fan.
Push-ups.
What?
I'm a fan of getahead.org. They just allow me to do everything.
Uncle Fault. Anyways.
$10 yeah? a head. No, $10 a month. It's cheaper.
Yeah, any head.
Summer discount. There's no getahead.
Could you go to the beach? Yes, why not?
Okay, now there are a lot of machlokot about different substances. I don't want to get into every single one. But you see how the basic lumdos here, right? Is the issue at hand defining a kli, or is it simply about that which touches the food, right? Needing a mikvah, right? You see how this would lead
to... It's not defining the kli, it's what touches the food.
Well, not necessarily. It could be that a kli, which has transitioned, right?
Oh, it's both. It's
right.
What
or use whatever. Right, but you see how right the nafkamina is gonna be, right? Is it primarily about what's on the inside, which is what touches the food, primarily what's on the outside, which is what the world sees and sort of defines it.
Right?
Right? Or is it only both? Right?
Everyone would say both.
And you see, right, so what Ziyotze is that the poskim seem to say, well, you know, you should try it, you do it without a bracha unless it's both. But like I said, but one of the subcategories in the Shiloh is going to be, what if something is a thin glaze that is really insignificant? So again, the OU, the star case, they do it without a bracha, right? The minhag in YU, no, the minhag, the post-given YU, say, and therefore the practice has become, right?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And that is my practice. I'm now incriminating myself on record, right? But I'm not, because I'll just say, what do you want from me? I went to YU. I'm following Misaira. Following Misaira. What do you want from me? But that is
like,
the...
Don't they think that it's necessary to do that? I mean, without in general, not kashering in YU?
What?
No.
In YU, we definitely generally do think you have to kosher things in Tovel.
Yeah,
things.
No.
Just this. Just China. What? A Kehle Mikvah?
Yeah.
We use the one in Breuer's.
I'll ask after here. Someone I wanted to ask you if you know.
But anyways.
Probably yes.
Okay, are we clear on the lumdos?
Yeah.
And we're clear a little bit on the halach lamaisa? Good. So therefore, if you know your parents ask you, when it's time for you to get married and you get your $5,000 set of china.
And a glass candy dishes.
Glass.
We'll get there, right? Do you have to tifle it? You'll say, well.
Well, I'm going
depends.
To YU,
so. You'll say, if I go to YU, so not. So it is. Right? But if not, and you look at the regular kashrus organizations, and you look at the baiskim, and they'll say, yeah, do that.
What do you think about that says, Rumi? What do you think about that says?
I went to MTA. I think it's
a council. There you go,
baby. I'm having a code. I don't want to have a code. Having a code is only from the manifest fact that...
Yeah, you'll get the whole shot. Three.
Wouldn't need Tovel until you
get
the
code on silver.
Like, announce the code on an iron pan. You still have to Tovel because it was a metal pan.
Oh, yeah. Something like that, I would think you'd need. Yeah.
Coding is just an idea of
Tovel. We're talking about the opposite problem. Right. We're talking about something which is...
It doesn't have to be Tovel, but when you put a coating on it, now
you have plenty. Nachum.
Correct. That's what we're talking about. Correct.
Yes.
Okay, good. We can move on?
Yes.
Good. Fine. Now, the issue I'm not going to torment you about... maybe I should just bring it up because... Well, because Nachum was asking me about this, so I have to bring it up, right? Is... The Shulchan Aruch says you have to put it either in a mikvah, shel arba'im sa'ah, or a ma'ayan, shel arba'im sa'ah. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
What's the difference? The difference is whether we're talking about flowing water or not. Now, the general difference is... that by a mikvah you need arba'im sa'ah, by a mayan you don't necessarily, you just need the water.
What's a mayan?
Mayan is a spring, right? You just need enough water to cover that which you are putting into it, right? So, like, you're using it for other forms of tumah, right, and you're tovelling, I don't know, a needle, right? You don't need 40 sa'ah.
You may need those.
So that, right, so that's the machlokes in the poskim, right? Is whether there's a gzeiras akasuf when it comes to tefillat kelim that you need 40 sa'ah even in a ma'ayan, or that it's the halacha
So, like, I can go to the potter and just...
That's different. The potter's not always...
Right, so this is what... And if you look at the Taz brings up this machlokes. The Taz la loch of Nekil. It says, no, once you're using a ma'ayan...
It's a ma'ayan flowing water.
Yeah, a spring flowing water, as I said. Right? So, so this is the machlokes. And the mafarshim is whether you need dafka arba'im sa'a mamish...
Or do you have it connected? Well,
do you need 40 sa'a, or do you not need 40 sa'a with a ma'ayan, just like you don't in general? Right? La halacha, the taz is mekil. The connected thing is more, right? That's something I really don't want to get into. That's another rabbit hole. Right? Is the question of snow, right? Toveling in snow, right? Which is
weird.
Okay. Now, the first Pesachei Tshuva, I want to bring up, and then before we move on. So, someone emailed me. I don't know if he's listening to the share, but I'll email him. I will try to email you back. Right? He asked me, right, yesterday we talked about the example of the theoretical massive yeshiva-sized cholin pot, right, that the old man is going to fall into. Yeah. And he said to me, he said, wait, isn't there a limit on how big a kli can be to be chayiv? At some point, doesn't it become like a non-kli? Right? Like, it's so big, it's like a movable room, right, or something. Right?
Giant ones at a factory.
So this is the topic of the first Pesachei Tshuva on the Siman. Look at the first Pesachei Tshuva. Cause of a saver chasmas Adam, klalayin gimel din yud gimel, hayorod hagdolot shemavashlan bo shechar, the massive pots in which you make, what shechar?
Shechar is
beer. Beer. Brewery pots, right? Those are big.
Yeah.
You see, big,
yeah,
right? They're big, and right? Wine, like tanks.
Beer, wine, their cauldrons are the size of the building.
That's why they're called tanks. Yes, that's what they're called, tanks. Right? They're not, they're not like, you know, they're not little pots, they're tanks.
You're in Belgium.
I know. So he says, so the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chacham Hazadim, who says, nearly, did tzrichim tvila. They still need tvila.
How on?
Even though they are attached to the ground. Dino kichli. The elam takana elishit baleim. So either you have to put them in the mikvah, and then you'd be like, how am I putting that in the mikvah? The alternative is, Yisrael. The alternative is to make a hole in it that makes it unusable, and then have a Jew fix it. So now the Jew made the kli again. Right? Unmake the kli, right? Put a big hole in the bottom. A big hole. A hole that would make it unusable. Right? Like put a 3x3 inch, right? You can't... If you have a 3x3 inch hole
in a
beer, right, brewery tank, it ain't gonna, you're not gonna have beer, right? You'll be drowning in beer, right? So it's no longer a clay. Amy's like, that doesn't sound bad until you die in it.
Unless you,
right?
Unless you have goyim operate it, no?
Wow.
Unless you have goyim operate those parts of the factory. That involve the goyim. If a goy is working the brewery,
yeah, too bad.
What do you mean?
It's owned by a Jew, it needs tefillah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's owned by him,
yeah.
We went down.
That's the whole thing. The Jew owns it, right, and acquired it from a non-Jew. It needs tvila. Period. Right. We've said that before, right?
Okay.
Doesn't matter who works it.
We did it reverse though. In the cases that Jews are working in a goyish company,
and it doesn't need tvila.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just on the general basis.
It's ownership.
Okay.
Ownership.
Who owns it?
So having a non-Jew work that will not help you. Now, what might help in this case, and this is what we'll see in a few sifim, is that one of the key terms which we still have to define is clay seuda. What does clay seuda mean?
Whether it's like a fork or a knife.
So it clearly means things you actually use during the meal. What it, right? The question then becomes things that are used for food.
Storage.
So, right. So there's going to be two. So there's two. So one is going to be storage. The other is going to be preparation. Those are different, right?
I mean, preparation, people usually eat from the pot to try the
food. Ah, so, right, correct, like a pot like that.
Beer tanks work.
Why? Why?
Because it goes into, because after the beer tank, it goes into the bottle, which then...
And more importantly, in the most of the time when it's in the beer tank, can you drink it?
No.
Why?
Because it's being made.
Because it's still fermenting.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what the Chachmas Adam says. And he says, but some say that what? But he says, when it's in the tanks, it's still not drinkable. It's still fermenting.
Also, isn't it actually cold?
What?
Or they keep it hot? Take a beer with you, they keep it hot?
That I do not know.
Because if it's cold, then there might not be a... Well,
they're usually room temperature. I don't think they intentionally keep it cold.
This is not about kashrus. This is about tefillah.
I mean, according to the Mishnah. Right, but according to the Mishnah, if you just wipe
this is not about kashrus. It's about tefillah.
Tefillah said a cold drink.
This is not about kashrus. It's about tefillah. Do your glasses? Your glasses?
Wasn't that the whole moment?
Your glasses? Your cups? They use for cold drinks. You don't bring in the mikvah.
We ended up
your kiddush cup. You don't bring in the mikvah. You don't bring in the mikvah.
I do.
Okay. You're right. We saw that there was that Tosis Yontif that la halacha.
Yes.
La halacha. Right. Doesn't matter.
Together, it's adding kiddusha. You're not cooking.
So therefore, he says. But he says maybe this isn't clay suda.
So it doesn't require.
Right, because it's an achimisanim. So you have to. Right, you have to still. Filter it, right? Afshal says some chalom shein mat tovlan osam. He comes, oh, it's archi and shir. Lagar misakin shushchita. But he says, but this is going to therefore depend on what the machlok is about, a shchita knife, right? Meaning, he said I could justify that this is too early in the process to be called klei suda, but I could have made the same argument by a
shchita knife,
and as we'll see in sif hey, shchita knife is a machlokes, right? Shechita knife is a machlokes. Lehalacha, it's a machlokes. Shulchan Aruch.
Lehalacha, it's a machlokes.
Shulchan Aruch Ramah.
Can we infer from the fact that we don't tovel a
shechita
knife?
No, that's what he said. He said, this depends on the machlokes of shechita knife. But whether or not we tovel a shechita knife is a machlokes.
He says, yesh mi...
Shulchan Aruch says... Shulchan Aruch says we don't.
Because shechita knife is made specifically for...
And Shulchan Aruch says we don't tovel it. The Ramah
says
we do.
Without a
bracha. Without a bracha, right? Good.
I would think because there's much less of a chance for what we call it. There's since the shechita is being made specifically for a Jewish purpose that
now,
you doesn't really need tefillah.
What? Well, it would have to be made by a Jew. If it's made by a non-Jew, it doesn't matter for what purpose it's made. It has to be made by a Jew. Right? I mean, you can solve all these by having it made by a Jew. Then you have no problem. Right? That's easy.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing on Sif Aleph. Yes, I know we spent almost an entire hour on Sif Aleph. But this is the nature. Now you wonder why, right? It's amazing. Tfilat Kelim has half an Amud in the Gemara, three quarters of an Amud in the Gemara, one Siman in Shulchan Aruch, and thousands and thousands of pages in modern Psak. But not, like some topics, it's like a stretch. Here, there's just so many nuances, right? And every one of them is conceptually complicated. So now, one more issue. In the Chachma Zadam, this is in Sif Gimel, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes this. He says, wait a second. Okay. Let's say you have this massive kli, and you want to put it in the mikvah. So, if you have a massive kli, and you want to kosher it, what do you do? Kosher it.
Oh, fire.
Yeah,
well, it depends how it was
made. How do you kosher it? What if it's big pot?
There's
boiling
the water.
Example.
Good. How do you do it? How do you kosher something
like
that? What if it's too big? What's
no,
too big? What do you do?
No, you put like dough on
so
the bread and then you boil it.
What else could you do? Or let's say your countertop. Okay? Mm-hmm. Your countertop. Here's how your countertop
is
kosherable.
Water and pour it on top.
Good. How do you kosher it?
Well, how long
does it take you? How long did it take you to kosher your countertop?
Seconds.
Pre-Pesach.
Yeah, you pour hot water.
How big is your countertop?
My entire kitchen.
Good. How many pots of water does it take you?
Probably
my dad
three.
Boils it up all at once.
Good. Do you do it all at the same second?
No.
No. Right? You do part of it? And then you do part of it.
Sure, right.
Right? Meaning, or you get a steamer, right? But you don't immerse the whole thing in boiling hot water. You don't pick up your whole counter and put it in boiling hot water.
Yes.
Is that a problem?
No.
No, it's not a problem.
I mean,
why is it not a problem?
Doesn't
conceptually, tell me why that's not a problem. Why is that obviously okay?
I mean,
or the blowtorch.
No,
do you torch the whole thing at the same time?
Can't blowtorch.
No, right? You don't need a blowtorch with a single flame that hits, you know, one of these industrial...
Get those Elon Musk flames.
Why? Good. That's the Kinachim. Why? Why does nobody say that your countertop needs to be fully submerged in water at the same time?
It's kosher, not tefillah.
Because it's koshering, and therefore, why does it not matter? there.
See, you're not encompassing the kedushaness.
Yeah, because you're removing non-kosherness from it.
Right.
Right? And you remove it just like if you were disinfecting something.
Oh, but tevila, you wouldn't.
Oh, good. So the Pisnei Tshuva says, what if you had that clay? Do you think you could do the same thing like tevila? Put it in the bottom, put it in the top? The answer is no, because koshering is not identical to tevila. Tevila is tevila. It's this magic of the mikvah. Right? It's not touching mikvah water.
Mikvah magic.
Bediuk. And that's the Pisnei Tshuva. It says, cause of a Sefer Chachmas, Adam, Din Tezvav, Tzarech Sheyachnis, Kol HaKli V'mayim B'Pam Achas. Put it all in at once. Why? Shelo Yishaer Mimena Chutz L'mayim Afilu Kol Shehu. That not a single tiny bit should be left out of the mikvah. Mugadol V'inu Yachol Adov Lo Kula Echad. If it's too big, nearly the aser litva lechatzoin. You can't put half and half. Dumya de tefila nida. It's like a nida, right? Ve'enu doma lehagala. He says at this level, koshering is different than tefila because koshering is removing a physical negative, right? It's like sanitizing, right? Disinfecting, right? Whatever you so you put the right you disinfect it from non-kosherness. But tvila, even if you think it's removing a negative, it's removing a negative with a spiritual mechanism called a mikvah. It's not mikvah water, it's the process of tvila, right? That removes the negative or adds the kedusha or whatever, right? I mean, it's fundamentally distinct from koshering. And therefore he says, right? This isn't koshering, that I can sanitize and disinfect it of non-kosherness a little bit at a time. Kaven Shigel makes us are hiflet, right? If I kosher a little bit, so it koshers that part, and then it kosher more. Aval hacham ishum tuma. This is tuma and tara, right? It's not water which makes it tahar. It's tvila b'mikvah that makes it good. The kaven shenishar makes us mimena chutz l'mayim chozer mitpashi b'chol akli. And he said, therefore, he puts it. Now this is interesting, right? You could have said, well, it's positive versus negative. He doesn't think that. He thinks no, it's removing tuma. But he says, if you don't tell the whole thing, this is sort of a funny formulation because he seems to have a middle conception, which is, since you left even a little bit, the tuma remains in it and then re-spreads out through all the clay.
Like the
right?
Man.
Meaning, tuma is one of those things. If you don't remove it all at once,
well, it's
infectious.
Okay, yeah,
right?
Yeah, so why did you say it's the middle ground then?
Well, because you could have just said, no, until you put it in the mikvah, it's totally tummy.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what he says. That's not what he says. He says, if a little bit is left, then the tumma, that little thing, spreads back out. Right? It's almost as if he sees it as a... Because what is he? He sort of sees it like a spiritual disease. Right? Therefore, I can disinfect it a little bit at a time.
Okay.
But if I don't get the last little bit, right, it will instantly spread back out. Right? It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
Right? But fundamentally, the answer is that koshering is removing a physical substance or is disinfecting it of non-kosherness. So I could do it step by step. But tvila, which is spiritual in nature, right, requires the process of going into a mikvah, which doesn't mean a little bit and then a little bit. It means mikvah. Put it in. How are you going to do it? I don't know. Either do the breaking the bottom if you can't, you know, whatever, or put it in a truck, shove it in the ocean, right, and then try to get it back out with 3 tons of water in it. I don't know. Right? Not my problem, right? I'm in chinuch. I'm not in industrial kairos. I don't have to figure out how you put that tank in the water, right?
Put it in upside down, and you let it fill up, and then you turn it up.
Do you know how heavy that thing would be? Imagine you take the beer tank, right? Okay, and then fill it up with water.
No, then you lift it up.
Gewalt. Right? Gewalt. Do you know how heavy that's going to be even for that minute?
Ah, true.
Gewalt. but in the Hanami.
It's okay.
Okay, AB.
Make me.
Okay. Fine. So guys, what we're going to keep... So just to give you the schedule,